Now, News Talk Radio CJAD 800 presents the CEO Series, insights from top business leaders. Your host is Carl Moore.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. The CEO Series takes you inside our capstone MBA class at McGill. Each week, we sit down with some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Eileen Murray, co-CEO of Bridgewater. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin, slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders our McGill MBAs are exposed to. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Jordan Owen, Vera Gavrizin, and Marty Elgier, three entrepreneurs who have negotiated the coronavirus pandemic well. Jordan is the founder of Bien-Aller, a Montreal-based company that sells reusable face masks and started 6-7 weeks ago. Vera is the co-founder of Workhoppers, a platform that matches freelancers with companies seeking contractors. And Marty is the co-founder of FixMeStick, a virus removal device for computer users. Thank you, Jordan, Vera, and Marty, for spending time with us today. What is Bien-Aller, and when did you start the business, Jordan?
So Bien-Aller, it's a symbol of well-being and everything's going to be okay. We kind of spun it off of the trend that was going along at the time, Ça va bien aller. Sean, Mark, and I started this business a few days after I came back from MIT. All schools got canceled. Everyone got sent home and everyone was figuring out what they could do with themselves. Sean was laid off from his company. My brother's business was slow and we all wanted to help out. And we started this. I went for a run with Sean on the Saturday that I came back. And on March 21st, 9 days later, we had the trademark purchased. We had the website. We had everything was set and we launched after 9 days.
So was it on that run that you guys started chatting and that at the end of the run, you had the idea essentially?
It was actually going on in Sean's head for a few weeks. I hadn't been speaking to him about it, but he had been thinking about it. He's been doing a bunch of analysis on the Corona data. And he's like, this is going to be a trend and I want to provide a product for people that are going to need it. And on that run, he's like, I need someone to work with. And I was interested and we decided that day.
And what was your brother up to before you guys started this project?
He was in real estate.
So that sector is kind of, along with most of the other sectors, has come to a halt to some degree during the coronavirus. And so you guys are looking around. One, you genuinely want to help people and provide something. On the other hand, you're entrepreneurial, that you see an opportunity where you can both serve and maybe make some money out of it as well.
Yeah, well, Sean and I had been speaking about this for honestly years. We've known each other for a while. And we it's, I think, something in our generation. We want to find a way to help people, to give back to the community, but also have a sustainable business model. And we believe that Bien-Aller is exactly that. We're giving back to the community. We're donating to charity. For example, tomorrow, we're donating a couple hundred masks to Mira, next week to Le Moisson Montréal. We've given about $5,000 now to Canada Helps. So we're trying to incorporate doing well into our business.
Well, the boomers, my generation, was a bit more about making money. So you guys have kind of taken it to a better place.
We're trying. It's our goal. We're trying to give back for sure. But it needs to also be sustainable or else it won't work.
So at this point, it's been, what, about 6 weeks that you've been doing this? How long has it been?
Yeah, 6 weeks.
So you say, let's make masks. Who makes the masks and has that evolved?
Yeah, it has. So the way we started was we basically built this business off our network. We reached out to all of the people we know in manufacturing, in fabrics, and we were cold calling like crazy. And luckily enough, we cold called this one guy who had a factory of seamstresses, but it got completely closed down. So he had a list of seamstresses who are all working from home that were unemployed. And we were really lucky to get this person as a contact. We met him and he was excited about the idea and we instantly partnered up. So we were the ones buying the fabric, the elastics, and he was the one cutting up our pattern and then distributing it to his army of seamstresses. And that's how we started. So we were producing about 100 to 150 per day from the very beginning. And then that grew. We got another team of seamstresses in Montreal and Ottawa. So now we're up to about 3,000 a week of hand-sewn masks. And then the demand was honestly just too much for us to be able to produce. So we had to partner up with a South Korean manufacturer who could produce a lot more. And that has stabilized our supply chain.
How many are you planning to do for the next couple weeks per week? What is your forecast at this point?
This is the biggest problem about this business, is that it's very unpredictable. We don't know where things are going. It's highly related to the news and how people are feeling. We've provided 40,000 masks over the past 2 weeks. So we just made another investment to provide the same amount for the next 2 weeks. But, you know, it's just like we're playing catch up all the time, and we're just trying to learn what the needs are, but it's not easy.
You're listening to CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Jordan Owen, co-founder of BNLA, and two other entrepreneurs on how they have handled the coronavirus pandemic, a question on everyone's mind. Where did you get the design for the mask? Did you guys just get this off the web, or where did you get it from?
No, we produced it ourselves. This was, again, a contact of ours. My partner, Sean, was in school with a friend that he met, and his girlfriend is a seamstress. So she drew the initial design in the three sizes, the small, medium, and the large. And then we went off that for our entire Montreal production.
How did you find the producer in South Korea?
He's an MIT colleague of mine. This was, again, a situation where we were having issues with our supply chain. We weren't able to produce enough, and then we were all making our biggest efforts to find a stable solution. So I reached into my network at MIT and was lucky to stumble on a amazing contact.
So it seems between McGill and MIT, you guys have, you and Sean have a wonderful network from the sounds of it.
Yeah, we this couldn't have been done without the people around us, to be very honest. Yes, there are three founders, but there are many, many people who have helped us along the way.
So you send the order, you email or whatever the order to Korea. How long till the masks show up in Montreal?
About 2 weeks.
Did you guys have any experience with e-commerce before starting BNLA?
Never before. We were all in our own business. My brother and I were partners in our own real estate ventures. Sean Tassé he's in construction, and we met because he was building our family projects. We're two young, ambitious guys that worked out together, ran together, and we always wanted to do something together. And we knew that in real estate, it would have been very complicated. So this was a perfect meet for us.
So how many employees are you up to at this point?
So excluding Sean, Mark, and I, we are about 10 people now. And it varies. So depending on how much fulfillment we have, it changes. So we have about 4 people in communication and 6 to like 10 people in fulfillment.
Jordan, how do you get orders for your masks?
Everything is generated from our online platform. We have our website, bnla.com, and we drive the sales through Instagram, through Facebook, or, you know, newspaper advertising.
So that's old-fashioned newspaper, but I guess people are reading newspapers because they're at home.
Yeah, readership has skyrocketed. People are scrolling the newspapers like never before. People are on Instagram all the time. So the whole like e-commerce business segment has shifted and has drastically increased. One of my friends works at Shopify, and she said that since the coronavirus has happened, they're experiencing Cyber Monday sales every single day.
How is this funded? Is it just out of your own bank accounts, or do you have some funders as well?
No, that was one of the major challenges, that there's no financing available. So the three of us at the beginning discussed on an amount that we were willing to risk and lose if we had zero sales, but the amount wasn't huge. It was honestly quite small for a startup. We had some savings, so we had $10,000 of investments between the three of us, and we agreed that if the business didn't work at all, we were comfortable losing that amount. But since then, it's been self-funded.
We're speaking with Jordan Owen, co-founder of Bien LA, and two other entrepreneurs about how they've handled the coronavirus pandemic. Up next, we'll be talking with Vera, co-founder of Workhoppers, about the state of the freelancing market during these uncertain times. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Vera, co-founder of Workhoppers, and two other entrepreneurs about how they have navigated the global pandemic as business owners. Vera, what is Workhoppers, and what does the business do?
Workhoppers is a platform where companies connect directly with the right freelancer. And we do that thanks to a very solid matching algorithm that, by the way, was developed in McGill. So we let companies talk directly with the right freelancer. And it's about really matching the right talent to the right task.
How long have you been at it?
We've been since 2013.
Oh, 7 years then.
Yeah.
Where did the idea come from? Was there an aha moment you said, here's the idea? Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, the idea comes a little bit from my background and my partner's situation. So first of all, I'm a longtime consultant for McKinsey in the past. So it was for me, it was normal to work all the time on projects. And once I decided to, you know, get married, have kids, and everything was getting very complicated to have a full-time consulting job, I started to do projects on my own. One day, my partner, we were just mommies trying to find flexibility in our lives and trying to handle, you know, kids and home and careers. So we decided to created Workhoppers as a solution for mommies like us, like mommies that needed flexibility in their lives and balance. So we started the company targeting moms, talented professional moms, and companies that would benefit from having such a, you know, high quality professional that just needed to work a few hours a day or on a project base. We very quickly realized that freelancing was not only about mommies, and today moms are 3-5% of our database. It was a whole world out there of freelancers, all kinds of different individuals that were looking for a better life or a balance in their life. Then we have the moonlighters that needed an extra income, and semi-retired people that decided not to completely retire and be still productive.
So how many Workhoppers are there?
On the site, we have around 80,000.
They're all over the world then?
That's right. They're all over the world. We do emphasize more North America, right? Canada and the States. But freelancers are all over the world, yeah.
So how many staff are there at Workhoppers?
We do what we preach, which is we have a big team of freelancers working with us in every dimension of the business. So it's basically freelancers.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Vera Gevisen, co-founder of Workhoppers, and two other entrepreneurs on how they have handled the coronavirus pandemic. So how has the pandemic affected your business? Just thinking about it in theory, it should be up in theory, but what's reality?
So it's interesting as a question, because when we created and we developed our business plan for, you know, for potential investors, we always had the idea that this business would be good for good times and bad times. Okay, in good times, you want an extra help, a professional, but on bad times, you really need flexibility from the company side. Well, that's what exactly happened. At the beginning of the pandemic, we suddenly benefit from an increase in traffic. Mostly came, of course, from the freelance side, where people were registering at least 30% higher than normal and converting at a rate that was 100% higher than before. And companies on the other side started to cancel their subscriptions, because we have subscriptions. So they started to cancel And they were indicate we're canceling, we're putting on hold the project, we're putting on hold the hire. But slowly that came back. We are at the same level than before in terms of companies looking for freelancers. In terms of freelancers looking for work, we're a lot higher, yes.
So it's companies saying, we want a flexible workforce that we don't have to fire anybody, but we give them a contract when it's over. No one's upset. It was the relationship. So they're looking for flexibility in the workforce.
Right. You scale up or down as needed. So without hurting anybody, not your finances and not the professional.
I guess the freelancers largely work from home to start with. So everybody's working from home now.
Everybody's working from home. We always try to push to hire in your own city, anywhere in the world, but in your own city, so that you can benefit from the advantage of have sometimes a face-to-face meeting, a relationship, somebody that is accountable legally. So that was our value proposition. And today we have job opportunities that companies are hiring freelancers and asking as soon as possible, you know, if the government will release to come to work in the office sometimes, because they like, you know, the flexibility and the meetings. I have freelancers that are categorically saying no. It will be a long time before we get into the office. So don't count on that. Remotely, whatever you want, but we're not getting in the office.
Is it easier as an entrepreneur to pivot in the face of an adversity like we're going through? Is that just the nature of being an entrepreneur, or is it still extremely challenging?
That's obviously the nature of an entrepreneur, but change is never easy, not for most of the people. Here, it's about surviving, right? So change here is a must. If your conditions have dramatically changed, you need to find solutions to the new environment. And the quicker you do it, the faster you succeed. Otherwise, you fail.
We're speaking with Vera Gevisen, co-founder of WorkHoppers, and two other entrepreneurs about how they've handled the coronavirus pandemic. Coming up, we'll be talking with Marty Algier, co-founder of Fix Me Stick, about the sale of his virus removal device while most Canadians are working from home. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Marty Algier, co-founder of Fix Me Stick, and two other entrepreneurs about how they've navigated the global pandemic as business owners here in Montreal.
Marty, thanks for spending time with us today. What exactly is Fix Me Stick?
The Fix Me Stick company is the creator of the Fix Me Stick virus removal device, which is a product you plug it into your computer and it removes the viruses and malware from it. Now, we've got another product line this year called the Start Me Stick. And so that's a computer operating system on a stick, and you plug it into any computer and it will give you a fast, private, and secure system that you can use for either if yours is not working well or if you want to share your computer with somebody else and you don't want them to mess it up, or if you've got some increased privacy requirements, that's then the Start Me Stick's the right tool for the job.
So how did this company get started? Take us back a few years. When did you start the company and with whom?
Yeah, so that company started in 2011, and I started it with my business partner, who we were working together at a computer or internet computer security company. We were both engineers or programmers by trade, and have been in the startup or the high risk technology venture area since we started professionally, so ever since grad school.
So what happened as the COVID crisis came along? Has that been really ruined your business? Has it fallen off a cliff, or has it been not so bad?
It's been not so bad. Our product is a do-it-yourself type of a product. And so the demand has been steady or possibly bigger for a product because you can't bring your computer to the store or have a technician come over and fix it. And so that it's been a good time for both of our products in terms of customer interest. But capturing the sale has been highly, the landscape has changed. Best Buy is one of our biggest retailers in the United States, and they closed all their stores. Staples in Canada, same thing. And so while the demand has been steady or possibly gone up, sales have been all over the map, much more variable since the lockdown started.
So you don't sell direct to the customer, and you go through big retailers?
We do both. And so we sell direct. You can buy from fixmestick.com or amazon.com, and you can buy it in the traditional national retailers and home shopping networks.
So you advertise on the web, like you advertise to millions of people a year, or take us inside how you reach out and get customers to come into the store.
Corey and I, because we're both programmers, our initial vision was that we'd become internet advertising stars and use all of our programmatic and analytics skills to do outstanding things on the internet. And we just got killed in internet advertising. We were never able to acquire a customer at anywhere near a profitable price. And so I got interviewed on the radio one day during the launch of the Fix Me Stick. And the phone, like, it literally rang off the hook for the rest of the day. You know, Corey and I we're not snobby about media. So we decided, like, hey, let's learn about radio advertising. And then after about a year of radio advertising, we gained the confidence to give TV a go. And TV advertising has been the main vehicle for driving customer awareness.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Marty Algier, co-founder of Fix Me Stick, and two other entrepreneurs about how they've handled the coronavirus pandemic.
You were on Dragon Den a few years ago.
Yeah, we were on Dragon's Den in season 8, so 2014.
I should remember, but did you win, or did anybody invest?
Well, we won in the sense that it was a great show, and we got offers. At the time, there were five dragons, so all five dragons were interested in investing in the business, and so we won the night. And I mean, ultimately, we never closed an equity deal, and so we don't have third party or other investors. So it's remains Corley and I as the sole owners of the equity in the business.
From talking to other entrepreneurs, that's helpful where you don't have venture capitalists or bankers or other people like that giving you a rough time, that you and Corey decide, and you might get it right, you might get it wrong, but there's no one else in the room.
I tend to agree. We don't do a lot of communication planning about how to share the bad news with our lenders or our investors, and so it's just on us. And so there is an upside to having that independence from the traditional financiers.
Do you think it's easier for an entrepreneurial organization like yourself rather than the big corporates to pivot and to change during a crisis like this?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, a company like ours that doesn't have to kowtow to investors or banks, we can do whatever we want. And also with our organizational structure, we don't have any middle managers, and so we've built around the model of a working foreman. So everybody, including or especially Corey and me, like everybody lifts water every day. And so when we want to change something, add something, or do something, it can happen the moment sort of we get off the phone, or the moment that the agreement's been reached via email. Now, that being said, of course, every great strength has an equal and opposite weakness. And so it's, you know, a bigger ship is not going to get blown around so much in the choppy seas. And so there is a cost to that that lean and flexible and pivotable operation that we've got.
So everyone at Fix Me Stick is working from home, I take it?
Everyone's working from home.
What's a typical day of an entrepreneur working from home like? How does it differ from what you do normally?
Well, I think, I mean, in our company, or for me personally, I've found that I've shifted my day to be much earlier. So I'm up earlier and working earlier, and I'm finishing earlier, and sort of doing more family things earlier in the day. So like my day looks more like a construction person's day, where I'm up and at it before the traffic starts. Well, there's no traffic now. You know what I mean? Before the sun's up, and home before school's out.
We're speaking with Marty Algier, co-founder of Fix Me Stick, and two other entrepreneurs about how they've handled the coronavirus pandemic. Coming up, we're talking with all three of them about how they unplug at the end of the day spent working from home. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Jordan Owen, co-founder of Biennale, Vera Gavaisen, co-founder of Workhoppers, and Marty Algier, co-founder of Fix Me Stick, about how they've navigated the global pandemic as business owners. What's the future for Biennale? Do you see shutting down when things go back to normal, or do you think it might be around a year from now?
The reason why we started this was because we see a long-term future in this business. You and I went to Mongolia and South Korea, and I've been to other trips in Asia and Japan, and everyone in Asia is wearing a mask when they're not feeling well. And it's out of respect. It's not because they're necessarily sick. It's because or they're trying to protect themselves. They're putting it on to not spread their germs. And we really believe that that trend is moving into North America. You know, this disruption, this pandemic in North America is one of the first. It's the first time that it happened here in a very long time, but in Asia it's happened frequently and they've adjusted. For us, we haven't had the time to adjust, and we believe that wearing a mask is going to be like a staple. It's going to be how people conduct themselves, and we're trying to make it so that it's cool, not that people are wearing these blue medical masks and it looks like, you know, an apocalypse outside with waste on the floor. Like with our mask, it looks good, feels good, you could reuse it, you could wash it, and it's so we really think that there's a long-term future here.
Jordan, what have you learned about leadership and strategy throughout this adventure with Biennale?
Yeah, so this whole experience with Biennale has been more than anything a personal learning experience, like understanding how to control yourself under stressful times, and being a leader is very, very important to keep your cool. So you need to be able to speak to your partners, you need to be able to speak to your employees, and your employees aren't below in any way. They're your partners in the exact same way as your equity partners are. So you need to be able to rely on everyone and communicate, you know, very calmly what your intentions are and how to move forward, because tension between people is normal, and being able to navigate that is very important as a leader.
How do you unwind and kind of recoup yourself at the end of the day?
For the past 6 weeks, it's been extremely difficult because of the school. Keeping up with school and the business at the same time has been a real challenge. So I honestly basically haven't unwinded for the past 6 weeks. But now that it's done, this was my first weekend where I was able to relax, go for a long walk or go for a bike ride. But usually it's just spending time outside.
Vera, I take that you don't have young kids in the house right now.
Well, that's why I could develop a business, right? When they became young teenagers. But yes, they're basically teenagers. They're around, but they're teenagers.
So how is that going, being in lockdown with teenagers?
I would say pretty good for the moment. As when they become teenagers, they're cavemen. As two boys. So they're basically two cavemen. We don't see him just for dinner, and that's it. The other one is, he's a student from McGill, or the first year. So he is, or was studying. Now he is working full-time for his internship, completely work from home. The company set him up. Everything is working perfectly. So also, I don't see him all day. He's in his room.
So how do you unwind at the end of the day? Do you ever unplug?
You know, that's an entrepreneur story. When do you unplug? Should you unplug? So, yes, I do. I have yoga and classes. They went from yoga studios to online, in the house, yoga classes. But it works. And I go for a walk when the weather permits. And now I'm just really busy trying to set up our outdoors so that the kids will enjoy summer in the house and lock them here. So I'm putting some energy in that.
You're listening to the CO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Jordan Oren, Vera Gervaisen, and Marty Elgir about how they've handled the coronavirus pandemic as entrepreneurs. Marty, when all this is over, do you think there will be less time spent at the office?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking if we're going to be able to save some money on rent when this is all over. I think we've got enough. I mean, our company's got a large number of young people who either live on their own or live with a roommate. And so they like coming to the office. I mean, they like the structure that gives to their lives. Their commute it tends to be not painful. I think we have one person in our company that drives to work. I mean, so everybody is either walking or taking public transportation. We have people that like to come to work, so I don't think we'll be removing the office. I think working from home for us has been relatively smooth, partially because we don't have a large number of new people at this time. And so everybody knows what to do. They know who their teammates are, that relationships and bonds are well-formed, the roles and the company fundamentals are well-ingrained. And so it's been relatively smooth.
How do you unwind and relax, given that you're with your family all the time and working very busy? How do you kind of get away from it all?
Well, it's tough. I mean, headphones be one thing. I do, in terms of unwind, we try and I like to cook. And so by being able to end the day a bit earlier, and I can start working on putting together for family dinner, just something that my wife and I have really focused on ensuring that we keep sort of that sort of family tradition going, and ensuring that ourselves and our kids have had that to look forward to every day, which, you know, takes a lot of planning and time. You know, we try and get some exercise and keep those physical and mental benefits flowing.
Are you looking forward to getting back to work just to get out of the house and be able to focus? Is that something you're kind of yearning for, like I am?
I am, for sure. I want it for myself and my family as much as I want it for our, you know, for the Montrealers and all, for everybody. I don't think I can say anything that's not already been said about how devastating this has been for our society, both health-wise and economically. It's something that I very much want to do what I can to keep both our business and its role together and functioning during this time, so that it can do its part for our city and greater society during this tough time.
Has the pandemic caused your sense of personal or corporate purpose to change?
I don't think it hasn't changed that sense. It's highlighted it or made it or laid it more bare. And so we've always been a company focused on being a sustainable business that treats its people very well. And I think that's a purpose that suits it very well during the current struggle that people in the economy are going through.
This is the CO Series. Jordan, Vera, Marty, thank you for joining us today. This show is produced by Marie LeBrosse. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Brian Kallisser. Thank you for tuning into the CO Series. À la prochaine.
For more info and full interviews, go to cjad.com now.